I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'd rather just be the guy at the beginning of the gym who just tells you what the gym is.
Tonight, and
now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again.
Yeah.
Listen to the show where the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Trigger Dash!
And your co-host,
and welcome to the 355th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, along here with my excellent co-host, the first of which being an escaped whale from SeaWorld, the one, the only, Dr. Shamu.
Damn straight.
Escaped whale from SeaWorld, who then went to Berkeley and got his PhD in astrophysics so that you can go fly in the sky. We also have my favorite thing to hold in my hands, Basket.
What's up, guys?
And as always, we're here to bring you the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, the show where we do everything, talk everything Pokemon, whether it be the Pokemon trading card game, the Pokemon video game, or even Pokemon, oh man, I didn't prepare for one today. Pokemon Go. Let's just do, that's an easy one. There we go. Pokemon.
What about Pokemon Wild Type?
That is no. We don't talk about that one.
I haven't even heard of this.
That's actually it's a fan game, Wild Type.
It's a Pokemon fighting game, 2D scroller.
So it's a 2D fighting game. It was before Pokken came out. They had this game called Pokemon Wild Type. You could probably go download it right now. And
you probably can. Yeah.
It's you just had a bunch of Pokemon and then you did fighting game things. I'm not a fighting
it's
game guy.
Like.
Yeah, it had a lot of fun Pokemon in it. And some of them actually made their way to Pokken.
Yeah, because they had Gardevoir, they had Gengar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They might have thought that, like, hey, we can capitalize on this and then just like
yeah. But welcome to the show.
Working.
If you're new, welcome back. If you're old, we really appreciate having you guys here. I know we gained a lot of people the last couple of weeks because we focus very heavily on competitive topics. Today is going to be a little bit different, though it's still going to be a fun show for those of you who are Pokemon fans. We aren't going to go as competitive heavy today, except during the Poke of the episode as we usually do, but we are going to be talking about some fun jobs to have in the Pokemon world, and we're going to talk about that in depth a little bit later during the topic and after Poke Quiz and the news and stuff like that. So we are... Before we get there, though, I want to just do our normal thing and ask you what you guys have been up to. It's been a while since both of you were on the show. By a while, I mean like a month. It's not that long.
Yeah.
So I want to know what you guys have been up to, though, lately. How about you, Shamu?
The only thing really has been the PTU podcast.
Yeah.
Just got released, what, this week?
Yeah, just got released this week. I need to talk about this because I forgot to talk about it last week. And so it was kind of like a soft release. So for those of you who are unaware, we have launched a third podcast, but currently it is only on Patreon, so it is only exclusive to our Patreon backers. Currently, all you need is a dollar to go ahead and listen to this show. So if you have a dollar and you're willing to give us a dollar a month, you can go to patreon.com/pucklepodcast and listen to this awesome PTU show that these guys put together. Because they were playing PTU and they're like, you know what, we could record this.
May as well.
Yeah.
We're going to play anyways.
Exactly.
And just the forewarning It is rated R. We do swear. We do say some bad things. Bad things do happen.
This is a little bit more intense than your normal Puckle experience. If you're into tabletop, this is a way to go get it. You can go ahead and go to our Patreon and just jump on that. It will be released to the public eventually, but Patreon will always be ahead.
They'll be ahead by a couple episodes, at least.
Two or three episodes, something like that. Maybe more. We haven't quite decided.
We're still working out the kinks.
Yeah. We haven't decided when it's actually going to hit the public. So keep your eyes out for that if you don't want to give us a dollar for an awesome PTU show. So we are going to go ahead, though. So what? Anything else? Just PTU?
That's pretty much it. I really haven't been doing much
Yeah,
else.
I know you and I have been working on some other stuff. We were just talking about stuff before this, but we'll talk more about that later. What about you, Basket? What have you been up to?
Just getting ready for that Gen 4 Pokemon Go drop by catching all the Pokemon that got their final evolutions in Gen 4.
I've been doing the same thing. You got to go get all the Mischievous, you know? Got to get all the Mischievous candies. Get all them Tangela candies. I've noticed that it looks like they're prepping for it real hard, too. But even if you just look at the raid bosses right now. Because I think Piloswine's a raid boss right now. Curly is a raid boss right now. Metatite for some reason, but that's different. It's shiny now. Metatite can be shiny now in Pokemon Go. I didn't know that until recently. And then there's a lot of Gen 4-ish Pokemon that can evolve in Gen 4 that are in this right now. I'm really upset that they didn't release Leafeon and Glaceon during Eevee Day. I felt that would have been really good. Just to like see some kid like freak out because they got a Leafeon or a Glaceon while they were like doing Eevee Day. I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah, but it would have been cool. And also, I can't believe they just decided like, oh yeah, we'll give Eevee last resort.
Yeah.
Like what? Like at that point, like because I caught so many Eevee that day, I didn't evolve a single one until it was over because I did not want last resort and have to use TMs to take it off of my Vaporeon.
It's awful. It's such a bad move. I've been working on a few things. I was playing a lot of my Crystal Nuzlocke recently, and I finally beat the Elite Four, but it's Pokemon Crystal, so there's a lot more left. You have to like run through Kanto and have all those fun times. Crystal is just blows my mind because I barely remember it as a kid. I remember Gold and Silver very vividly. I spent a lot of time on Silver version as a kid. Crystal, I didn't spend that much time on. And playing through Crystal again has just opened my eyes in so many ways. There's just so much going on because you have not only just like your normal Gold Silver experience, but you also have crazy stuff happening like Poliwag on like the second route after Cherry Grove City. They have like a way better Pokemon distribution minus the lack of Mareep. I'm really sad about the lack of Mareep, but they...
Can you not find one in Crystal?
No, Crystal made Mareep impossible to catch. It's not you trade it from Gold and Silver.
Oh, so you can't get it
at all. It's one of the version exclusive type things.
That's absolutely...
It's not
going to
be an entirely like kind of that same generation Pokemon exclusive to like, it's kind of, I don't know.
It is odd.
For a middle game that's supposed to have everything?
Okay, so whenever you, so this is the first gen, third version of a generation that wasn't like a money grab, I'd say. Well, it was still a money grab, but it wasn't as much of like a money grab as yellow version where it was just like, you know what, kids really like the anime. Let's just make that a video game. And Crystal was kind of like the first into the entry of, hey, this is what we think the director's cut should look like. And I mean, you could tell that there's bumps in there because, come on, Suicune is the mascot.
Why would the director cut Mareep, though? That's a bad director.
Honestly, you're right, because Mareep is probably one of the coolest design-wise, like, Gen 2 Pokemon, in my opinion. I think so.
I have to have my Bleep Pete every single time.
Yep. It's I mean, Mareep is just so cool. I think that's such a good Pokemon, but I'm so sad that that Mareep is just missing from Gen. So let me see which Pokemon are missing. So Vulpix isn't in Crystal. Let's see. Mankey's not in Crystal. Mareep is not in Crystal neither is Girafarig. Are you kidding me?
I can take it or leave it.
And then there is also no Rummeraid.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, no Remoraid. Sad day. But you get like a lot of other things that were version exclusive in Gold and Silver in Crystal version. I mean, I guess they were just like, man, you know what? We don't need Girafarig. And that's fine. We can make that cut so that you can have Gligar and Teddy Ursa. So that would be that's really cool. So that's something. But I was doing that, and then I told you guys and people on the Discord, but I've been trying to do these like third version game Nuzlockes, like all in a row, generation by generation. And so one of the things I was like, man, it would be really cool to be able to play them all on like the OG hardware from here on out after the virtual console. And So I have Emerald and cartridge and everything. And so I'm like, man, it'd be great to do that. And I'm looking at the Game Boy Advance and I'm just like, well, my adult hands are really bad at holding this Game Boy Advance SP. And there's no way I'm going back to not backlit screens. because that was an awful experience as a child. And I didn't know what I was missing out on without having a backlit screen. And so I've been looking at this mod for a while, but I found a way to mod the original Game Boy Advance, which is much more friendly to adult-sized hands, the original form factor. And I found this mod that you could do if you wanted to do it from scratch, you could do it for $50. I did a little bit of extra stuff to it, but this mod is you take a Game Boy Advance SP screen and then you shove it into a Game Boy Advance. And then you have a backlit screen. It still runs on AA's. It's crazy.
That's super awesome that it's compatible. I would have never even thought that was possible.
So it's semi-compatible. because
what does that mean?
Okay, so the screen works with a different motherboard, obviously, because the Game Boy Advance SP motherboard is slightly different than the Game Boy Advance motherboard, though they have the same processor and everything in them. So the difference is the ribbon cables are different widths. They have a different number of pins on the ribbon cables. Okay. And so you have to go and get a specific ribbon cable adapter that people have made in the modding scene for that Game Boy to connect it to a Game Boy Advance SP screen.
Okay.
And on top of that, I mean, I'd say this is optional. There's an optional soldering that you can do of a wire from this ribbon cable to the motherboard. I found that it's not really that necessary because you can do it and then you can increase the brightness of the screen in the Game Boy Advance. And so what I did was the first thing is I turned it on and I'm very confident in my soldering skills, but I don't want to do any unnecessary soldering.
Right.
And so I turned it on. I'm like, oh, that's bright enough. And I'm perfectly fine with the brightness level it's at. So I just never soldered it in, but you can solder it in and you can actually play with a potentiometer and you can like increase the brightness and the definition and stuff like that. It's a very, it's a very easy mod too. I wouldn't say it's very difficult.
That's cool.
But I also went ahead and I like bought some other stuff cause I've been looking at modding a Game Boy Advance SP for like years and just like, I should do it. And then I finally pulled the trigger and did it. Because also it's great for the Legend of Zelda Adventures of the Four Swords. If you're unaware. This is a GameCube game. This is not Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then we shouldn't quit this talk, but so this is a GameCube game and it's literally built for you to play with the Game Boy Advance as the controller on the GameCube. And so the idea is you get those like GameCube to Game Boy Advance adapters and you plug them in the controller slots. And you can have four of those just plugged in at the same time. And the idea is there are sections where you're all up on the screen together and you're like duking it out as different colored links. And then there's sections where you go into like caves and stuff. And then it pops up on the Game Boy Advance screen. And it is so hard to play without a backlight. It is just so almost impossible to play.
No, I know that pain. I played that game way too much when I was a kid.
Part of my dream in the near future is to build like three more of them, just mod three more so that I have like a full set of four. So if my friends come over, I can be like, dude, we're playing Legend of Zelda, the Four Swords. Nobody else has ever played this game this properly.
I don't realize how tempted I am just to drive down there and just like play.
Yeah, no, it's so much fun. Like when you play with somebody,
that's a nostalgia trip. Oh,
that game is so much fun to play. And it's a really good party game as like a Legend of Zelda multiplayer experience that I didn't know I wanted.
Because you can even, there's even like a party mode with it too. Like you can just do mini games.
You guys, we're getting too excited over Zelda.
That's true. No. That's true. But you'll understand one
four
day.
Four swords. This is four swords. You can get excited over this. Breath of the Wild, no, you can't get excited over that. It's too mainstream. It's too new. Four swords is old
enough.
Many,
that too much retro stuff here. All right, but we'll cut it off there. There has been a lot of good Pokemon news this week, so we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music. Town Radio Tower. This just in. And in the news, we have so many different things going on. It's so exciting. So first of all, this is something that I didn't talk about too much last week. This is just a really strange thing to me. So in Japan, the Pokemon anime is switching time slots for the first time in 20 years. It's what? Crazy. Yeah. So in like 1998, after the Porygon episode incident, it got changed from, I believe, like a Saturday show to a Thursday show. And it's been on Thursday for like the past 20 years. And they are moving it after, I believe, the last episode to appear on a Thursday, I think, is going to be this week on the 13th. And then it's going to come back on Sundays, which is really weird to me. But that's cool, I guess. That's something. Yeah. And they're going to be, it's just, yeah, I don't know why they're doing it. They decided to do it, I think, because they want their Sundays to be more family-friendly programming, which I guess Pokemon fits that bill.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. There's nothing crazy going on. You can finally download the Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon Sun series rules on your 3DS if you want to play VGC 2019.
Oh, God.
A lot of people are getting into it, myself included. I'm not too upset with it. I think it's a fun format to play.
I don't think it's not the format. It's just the fact that, hey, we're making like five different, well, it's only three, but still, it's like three different formats to deal with.
And so I'm okay with it to an extent, and I talked about this briefly last week, and the reason I'm okay with this one in particular, the Sun series, one, I think the Sun series is a really good format, just in terms of nothing super overpowered because Ultra Necrozma's not in it, and
There's no Megas, no Z moves,
Yeah, no Megas, no Z moves. It's very fun, because you get to use, like, Vanilla Kyogre and stuff like that, Vanilla Xerneas and stuff like that. It's a really fun meta, and on top of that, we typically don't get a new VGC meta until the end of the year. So I'm kind of okay with like a meta that goes from the end of 2018 to the beginning of 2019. I like that. I don't know how I feel about it being split up twice after that, but I'm really okay with it being split up right now, at least. And I think the format right now is kind of cool. It's an interesting format in and of itself. So I'm okay with the VGC 2019.
I think it would be pretty cool to be a part of that and try out new things. And I think it'll make other people learn more about what you can do, like with those limitations, mm-hmm. and maybe change up some like actual like VGC teams in next worlds, because there's nothing like playing a lower tier and finding out that, oh my gosh, this Pokemon is totally viable. It super helps out with this. Here's this team I've been working on and it would fit great here, when I was only using what everyone told me to use in this slot.
I agree, kind of. I think Ultra Necrozma is in a place where there's only so much that can counter it.
And well, no, I'm not saying it's going to change the world or anything like that. I'm just saying that I think the people who already like experiment with other things are going to dominate, and they're going to find out these new Pokemon, and then they're going to potentially try and shove them in. So to me it wouldn't be surprising if there were random Pokemon, you know, like Pachirisu from that one world.
Oh yeah, I think we're gonna see more of that. I think this meta is open for more variety. I think that's the good thing about it. It's open for more variety. But that's going on if you want to do that. So there was supposed to be a Nintendo Direct this week, but unfortunately there was an earthquake in Japan. So they delayed it until next week. So there's word that there's probably some Let's Go news in it. But more importantly, I think we should all just hope for the best in Japan and hope that everything is okay there.
Yeah, was it pretty bad? Or
yeah, it was like a 6.7.
Oh,
it wasn't like a small earthquake. It was pretty bad.
Oh, that's
I don't think it was anything like the tsunami level earthquake or anything, but right. it was pretty bad. So hopefully they're okay. But they decided it probably wasn't a good thing to be like, hey, the day afterwards, let's talk about video games for funsies. So they pushed it back to next Thursday. Though there are some rumors about what was in it, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of those things were true. I think the biggest one being that in the online mode, you can kind of customize your trainer to a further extent and be, instead of just being the trainer character, you could be one of the gym leaders in like your PvP battles, it sounds like. So that'd be interesting just to be like, yeah. Hey, I'm Lieutenant Surge right now. But we can talk about that another day. Hopefully that gets revealed this next week, because Korokoro will come out probably before that direct. On top of that, you can register right now for the World Championships Friendly. I know we were just talking about downloading the Sun rules, but you can now also go play the Ultra VGC rules, which are the ones where everything goes, and I'm sure we're going to see alternate Krazma and probably Yveltal everywhere. Probably Yveltal. I think Yveltal is a really good mon in that format. I would be surprised if there was no Yveltal. So if you want to do that, you can register for it now, and the battles start next weekend, the 13th, and go until the 16th. And you get 50 battle points if you enter. So that's something. 50 battle points. Everybody loves battle points.
Yeah, you made it sound really exciting.
Yeah, it's not very exciting. So if you want to go ahead and catch up on the TCG, the newest subset is out. So this is the one I believe that's kind of on the same tier as Generations and Shining Legends. They found out that this was very successful, and it is. It's very successful. The next one's called Dragon Majesty, which focuses on Dragon-type Pokemon. That just launched this week. So if you're interested in collecting those, go ahead. Go to your local store. You'll be able to get that. Though you were saying the Latios is not out, or the Latios?
You have to get the Latios pin collection. That's the only way you can get the packs right now. They were both supposed to launch, but I have not seen the Latios at my store, and also even on Pokemon Center, they don't have it.
I saw that they're coming out with another one of those big boxes too, with like the playmat and everything.
Yeah, the big box. There's a couple of them coming out too.
The big box is so cool. I just love those boxes. I don't know why. Yeah. It's a piece of cardboard, but I'm like a child. And I'm more excited about the thing my toys came in than the thing itself. But last year they did a really cool like Pokeball one, and then this year it's a Great Ball, which is it's just fantastic. And like we need that for Puckle. Like that's a business expense, right?
You can try to convince us, sure.
It's a business expense. We need the Great Ball. Because of that earthquake that I was mentioning earlier. Pokemon Go, because of the last event, we unlock the Moltres Day. Moltres Day was supposed to be this upcoming weekend, but of course, because of the earthquake in the Hokkaido region, they are delaying that indefinitely. It'll be back at some point. I'm not sure if it's still happening in the U.S. I assume it is, but it was delayed in Japan. And so also, if you're really into Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, there's going to be a CD coming out, which is good for us. It's coming out in Japan, but it's good for us in the United States because that means it'll probably be digitally available for us to download as of release. So that's really cool. You get all of the music from Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, which I'm okay with. Okay. I don't think these games are going to be groundbreaking or anything. I think they're going to be interesting, and I think they have way better implications for the main series games, like I've said, week after week. However, I think Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, I think the music is going to be fantastic, because from a Pokemon fan perspective, this is the first time we probably get officially orchestrated Pokemon music for every single route. Right now, you can go by Kanto Symphony on iTunes or wherever, and you can listen to that, and I think it's really good. Braxton Burks does a really good job. He also has a Johto Legends album out as well, which came out earlier this year, which is also equally great and hype. So definitely check that out if you want. Oh, also, because of Dragon's Exalted, I forgot to mention this. GameStop is doing another distribution, like as they do for most TCG sets. They'll actually distribute a random Pokemon, and it's going to be a shiny Poipole. You can go to GameStop and get your shiny Poipole from September 17th to October 7th. Nothing in Europe has been announced so far, except for the UK. In the UK, it's going to be available through a Trainer Club's newsletter. I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy. I believe also with the shiny Poipole, they have the TCG promotion with a shiny Poipole card. Because I know I saw a promo about that.
Yeah, Shiny Poiple's how they're pushing it right now. Right now, and according to the Trainer Club's newsletter, it is level 40 with Venom Drench, Nasty Plot, Poison Jab, and Dragon Pulse. So it'll just like evolve right away.
Also, with it goes with that promotion, mm-hmm. but from September 17th to October 7th, they will give out the a Shiny Poiple promo card
at GameStop.
With, like, I think it's like, yeah, with a $25 purchase or more.
Oh, cool!
Of TCG stuff.
That's cool.
That's what they're doing, and then next month we'll probably get their aura, because that's how they do. Like, they're organizing the TCG cards with mm-hmm. that distribution with legendary Pokemon.
Yep, I can definitely say I think Zeraora is going to be next month.
Like that's the next card they're doing, October 19th through November.
Oh, cool.
October 19th through November 9th is Zeraora, so I assume that's what they're going to do.
I'm excited. I want Zeraora.
Yeah,
but that's the only thing. But I think that's it for the news right now.
Shiny Ganondale is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, no, it is. It is fantastic.
Poipole, whatever, but the Ganondale looks like a sweet bee.
Yeah, it is. So that is going to be it for the news this week. That's where we're going to wrap everything up, except for Puckle news. I keep forgetting things. I tell you what. So we are doing our official fall tournament. Our fall tournament, for those of you guys who are new to the community, we always do four tournaments a year minimum. We'll typically throw in another one. Right now we've been doing a draft league style league that is a lot of fun, but that ended recently. And I think we'll probably start it up again probably when the new year comes along, just because it's a lot of work to run it. But we'll figure it out. When we know, we'll let you know. but we are, of course, looking for... we are starting up our fourth tournament. I haven't come up with prizing for it yet, but we will work on prizing. So starting as soon as this show comes out, you guys can go ahead and register for Puckle's Underused Tournament. So for those of you unaware, in the Smogon tier... There's several tiers, and we're just going to focus on underuse. So you can't use any of the Pokemon in the overused tier, just things in UU. So we're going to be doing a underused tournament. If you're interested in joining that, you can, of course, just hop in to, I believe we'll have it posted in the Discord server, and you can just fill out a form, and we'll get you signed up for it. It is going to be round robin, so it's going to last as long as there are people to play, essentially. Swiss, not round robin. It's going to be Swiss. And then we'll have a top cut, and then people will go ahead and try to win it and become champion and win a prize of something. Probably get something from PokemonCenter.com. Get something cool from PokemonCenter.com. So that is it for the news, though. Underused tournament, so don't forget that. But we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And on to Puckle's Poke Quiz. This is the segment of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. So, of course, that means no internet for you guys. That's a no-no. You can't look things up. You got to use what's in your heads. We've got five questions today. One point per question. However, one of these questions will have a bonus point. And on top of that, they have a hint they can use as a lifeline. However, if they get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can get another extra point for a possible total of 7 points today. Last week, the ladder was reset because Scrawn hit 30 points, and this is a race to 30 points, so whichever co-host hits 30 points first gets to win a Pokemon plush from Pokemon Center of $20 or less in value of their choosing. So you guys are in competing, you know. You guys are going to be close to the top. Right now, Whimsicott is standing alone on the leaderboard.
Yeah, what if I don't want a plush? What if I want a...
Well, you can get a gallery figure for like $16.
Yeah, I'll let you buy anything for under $20 on PokemonCenter.com. I don't care. Just make it from PokemonCenter.com, and I'll buy it for you.
But what if I want a Switch?
I'll give you a $20 discount. I'll give you a $20 credit.
Okay, fair enough.
That's what you're playing for today, guys.
Play for a Switch. Oh,
you guys are all competing against all the rest of the co-hosts to see who can get to 30 points first. Of course, you guys are both at zero. Whimsicott's the only one with 7 points actually right now. She has 7 points. So she's the one to beat. However, you are so today they are working as a team to earn these points, and they'll be answering the questions together. So if you guys are ready, though, I have the first question.
I am totes ready.
All right, question number one is, what Pokemon and its evolution have the same base stat total? There's only one Pokemon family in all of Pokemon that when it evolves, it doesn't change its base stat total, just its base stat distribution. Who is it?
Oh, total but not distribution. Or distribution but not total. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, there's one that just evolves and still sucks.
Oh boy. I'm trying to think. It'd be something probably either like defensive or highly offensive that switches around.
Well, I feel like, well, it could be that, but it could also be something that like, because you know there was all those old evolutions that got new ones, right? Like,
yeah.
And so maybe it's one of those ones, like one of those like overpowered. Oh, Scyther and Scizor.
That actually might be right.
I think it is.
Because, well.
And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm basing this off of Little Cup.
Because Scyther still has, its defenses don't go down, I believe, and it doesn't have a high enough speed. Because Scyther's got, like, I think it's 100 the speed or something like that. Is it higher? How much speed does Scyther has? Because it goes down, like, by 60, and Scizor gets, like, a massive defense boost as well as a decent attack boost. So I don't know if that's exactly right. I guess Scyther, Scizor, I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, Scizor, do it. Go.
That is correct. It is Scyther and Scizor. They both have a base stat total of 600. So there you have it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, base stat total of 600. It's nuts, those guys. It's just, it's crazy. Because, or not 600, 500. My apologies. Mega Scizor has 600, but they both have 500, which makes Scyther, like, ridiculous in Nintendo official Little Cup. Because Nintendo official Little Cup's stupid and unbalanced.
Yeah.
But in regular Little Cup, like the real game, it's not so bad. But that is a point for you guys so far. So this next question, question number two, what does the Z stand for in Z Move? There's an official answer actually in the game.
It's Venus.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah. I've had this question before.
No, you didn't. And that is correct.
I've heard this.
That is correct. It was probably from Linian.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah,
because Linian gave me the question. So that correct. That is 2 points for you. The Z and Zivu stands for Zenith. There you go.
Thanks, Linian.
All right. So this next question is from Scrawn. Although this Pokemon is native to Kanto, it was impossible to catch it in the wilds of Kanto until Generation 2. Who was it? Bum, bum, bum.
And it was only one?
It's just one Pokemon, yes. One Pokemon. So the example would be like, I'm going to give you one that it's not. So Farfetch'd, right? It was in the Kanto Pokedex, uh-huh. But people wouldn't call it a Kanto Pokemon because you could only catch it in the wild in Johto, right? And so,
right. So
there's a Pokemon in the Kanto Dex that in Generation 1 was in the Kanto Dex, but you couldn't catch it in the wild in Kanto. And then in Generation 2, you could start catching it in the wild in Kanto.
Okay, so it must have been
a trade Pokemon, right?
Oh, or you can't catch it in the wild?
You can't catch it in the wild until Generation 2.
So does that mean you can or cannot? So you can't acquire it?
No, you can't acquire it. You can't acquire it. You just can't catch it in the wild.
That's what I'm saying. It must have been.
Because you can't catch a Porygon.
You can catch it in Generation 2, though, in the wild in Kanto.
Right, I thought that was the question we were asking, or no?
Yes. That is the question I'm asking. You can catch it in Generation 2, but you can't catch it in Generation 1, but you can obtain it in Generation 1.
Right, so...
Oh, that's a really confusing question. So it wouldn't be Porygon because he still couldn't catch it in the wild. You thought that... Oh, God.
So it seems to me, Shamu, that it's a trade Pokemon or one that's...
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, the traders.
And it's something that you can... And it's throughout, like, red and blue and yellow. You can't catch it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Trying to...
I'll confirm for you that it was like a trade.
Was a trade?
Yes.
So okay. Is this like a one
of all the trades
that I'm thinking is like, so you know how you have to trade well, I don't know if you have to, but in order to get like Nidoking and Nidoqueen, if you start a trade one way, then you can get the final evolution of that trade.
Okay.
I don't know if that I don't know if you can catch like the final evolution of one of those two in the actual game or not.
Oh, cause I don't. Oh God, I am just like.
Nidoking and Nidoqueen evolved via Moonstone. I'm just going to give you that one for free.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't like. No, I don't feel sad.
Because is this just the base of a speed, or is it any single Pokemon? So, for example, it's just a God. It's just a. I don't know. This is a dumb question.
It's a Pokemon you can trade for in game.
No, because I'm saying, because like now it goes to the point. Oh, so can you catch it? Like, would that include Nidoking? Because that means that, for example, we can't catch it. But what if we could?
No. Mm. No, you so can catch, you can catch, you can, so it's the whole evolutionary line.
Okay, that helps.
Okay, cool.
Because you can get that.
Okay. Okay, well, okay, so what are the Pokemon that we can trade in? Let's do that.
Because offhand, I don't really even know what we can trade. I don't remember any Gen 1 trades, really.
Okay, so,
you trade an
What about Jinx? Can you catch Jinx in the wild in Gen 2?
I don't know. In Gen 2, I don't know if you can catch them in Kanto.
Or can you? Because I don't remember being able to catch them in Gen 1.
The only place it would be would probably be Seafoam Islands.
You can also get a Lickitung. Can you find those and can you trade them?
It's Lickitung.
It is? Okay.
That's all you trade for that, and I don't remember ever seeing one in the wild.
Okay. All right. We're gonna go. Well.
I need an answer.
You're supposed to be able to see it in the wild in Gen 2, though.
Yes.
I'm pretty
in
sure
Kanto. In Kanto in Gen 2.
I'm pretty sure it's in Kanto.
Okay. Then let's go look at Tung.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Mr. Mime. Mr. Mime.
Oops.
Mr. Mime. I'm double checking for you though. Because, so I'm looking at, what is it called? Lickitung. Where's Route 44? That's in Johto, right? You can catch them on Route 44 in Johto. You cannot catch them in Kanto, though. It's one of those other Pokemon that was Gen 1 trade only, and then you could catch it in Johto later on.
Oh.
So, but the answer is, unfortunately, Mr. Mime. Mr. Mime. All right, though, moving on. Next question is the bonus point question. You guys are still at 2 points, so you're not doing too bad. So this next question is worth 2 points if you can give me two answers. There's actually 5 answers to this question, but I only need 2 of them.
Okay.
So in Pokemon Sun and Moon, they programmed the Heavy Ball completely stupid. And it's actually impossible to catch a couple of the Pokemon, 5 of them to be exact, with a Heavy Ball in Pokemon Sun and Moon. They did fix it in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. What Pokemon could you not catch with a Heavy Ball? It's physically impossible to catch with a Heavy Ball.
In what game? Sun and Moon?
Sun and Moon.
I don't even know how it was. I don't know. I never looked into this. I have no clue. Because it's one of those things where, was it programmed the opposite? Was it programmed
Oversight. It was an oversight in the calculation.
So essentially they cranked up the settings all the way up.
Pretty much, okay. And it was just an oversight, and so 5 Pokemon got screwed and couldn't be caught.
We're looking
balls.
For probably the lightest 5 Pokemon, pretty much, which I'm pretty sure 2
5,
of them are Ghastly and Haunter.
That wouldn't be the right, because it's not just weight that the capture rate's based on, it's also based on the capture rate of the Pokemon.
Wait, so could this be Pokemon that can't be catched normally, too?
You can catch them normally. You can catch all 5 of these normally throughout your playthrough of Sun and Moon.
I bet you would, just based on the capture rate thing, I'm betting it's it's probably the Tapus.
What would be the, I'm okay with that. I really have no clue.
Because the capture rate on them was really low, and I remembered hearing people complaining about like they couldn't they couldn't get Pokemon in the balls that they wanted, and it was they were having issues with the Tapus, and I didn't remember what ball it was, but I'm just guessing that it happens to be the heavy ball because that's the question.
I'm just trying to figure out if the heavy ball can get a lower capture rate than a beast ball with that. Because if that is true, then yeah, that's 100% accurate. Because I have done beast ball Tapus.
Well, like, he's saying that
it's impossible.
Was...
I'm just thinking, like, can the capture rate go down that low on a Pokeball?
Well, Thatch is telling it was an oversight and that there was an issue, like an actual issue. So it's not, we're not playing on the same field. Yeah. You know
that's
what I mean?
I'll agree with Tapus. I really don't know.
Is that your final answer?
I remember people being super pissed, so I'm pretty sure it could have been a different ball, but I'm pretty sure. So, Tapus.
Yeah.
That is correct. That's four of them.
Yeah.
So there's a fifth one. You also can't catch Beldum.
Krothma?
Beldum.
Oh, Beldum. Oh, yeah.
You can't get Beldum with a heavy ball?
Yeah, you can't catch Beldum with a heavy ball.
That's
because
ridiculous.
The way the heavy ball works is unlike other Pokeballs in that it deals with subtractions and not just multiplications. So it is impossible to go below zero. And if you go below zero, you end up not catching the Pokemon. So if the Pokemon has a capture rate of 20 or less, which the Tapus and Beldum do, and they weigh under 220 pounds, which the Beldums and the Tapus do, you can actually not catch them in Sun and Moon. They did fix this calculation so that it bottoms out at like one or something in Pokemon Sun and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. So it's not, you can catch them now, but back then you couldn't.
Mm.
So that is the answer. So you guys have 4 points so far out of five. And as always, the last question is always a base stat total question. So base stat question. So I want to know, out of all water type Pokemon, who has the highest defense stat?
What is either hint? Because we can't cash it in.
Well, that's true. This is a dual type with ice.
Cloyster is maybe.
That's what goes. Cloyster.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is Cloyster with a base 180 defense. So that gives you guys 5 points for today. So, of course, with the trivia score, that leaves Whimsicott in first place with 7 points, followed up by a tie in second place of Basket and Shamu with 5. So tune in next week, guys, for the next exciting episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz.
Ciao, I'm the fluffiest Whimsicott, and I want to tell you how you can enjoy Puckle even more and make it better at the same time. First, join our Discord server. You can hang out with us and a ton of cool people, take part in our tournaments, and get all our news right out of the gate. You can also interact and keep up with us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on our subreddit. If you love live content, we're on Twitch at least twice a week with all sorts of streams, from viewer battles to shiny hunting to PTCGO. If you want to drop a little bit of your extra cash on us in exchange for cool stuff, we have both a Patreon and a TeePublic store, so be sure to check this out. And finally, there's so much great Puckle content that we're now on two feeds. Make sure you are subscribed to both Puckle and Puckle Plus so you don't miss out on any of our sideshows. And drop us a review while you're at it. We really appreciate your feedback. Thank you!
And on to the topic. Our topic today is, what job would we like in the Pokemon universe? And I think there's a lot of them that I think a lot of us would like having. Let's start this discussion off by saying, like, generic Pokemon trainer, not an answer that's allowed. Because
that's fine. I really wouldn't even want that anyways.
I feel like that is just super generic, and that's a stupid answer to be like, yeah, I just want to be red, and I want to be cool Pokemon trainer standing on top of a mountain.
That's too much work. It's too much walking, too much travel, too many things can happen. It's too many inconsistent variables. I'd rather just be the guy at the beginning of the gym who just tells you what the gym is. You stand there and tell just tell them what the gym is. You give them some water and then pat them on the back and have them go fight the gym. There you go. Free money.
His name is Clyde. He has a name. Okay.
I don't care.
And that's such an odd job. Like, that's a really weird job. You've got this, kid. You got this. Go do your thing.
Keep on going. Yeah. It's like, and then just like, you just have like, I'm just imagining he's got like, through like 4 or 5 of the like 24 pack of water bottles just stacked next to him.
To be fair, knowing you in person, I don't know if it would be you that I would see doing this. I constantly, like, in my head canon, the guy at the beginning of the gym, Clyde, he is Bob Hoskins with sunglasses to me. He is Super Mario with sunglasses on at the beginning of the gym, telling me with a Brooklyn accent that I got this. You can't use electric type Pokemon here. Rock type Pokemon are immune to them, and that's not even true. Okay, it's the ground type that is immune to them. It just turns out that all the rock type Pokemon in Gen 1 were also ground types or water type. It's fine. So, but, I mean, that's an interesting job to want. I'm surprised that somebody gets paid for that. This is maybe Pokemon's like a socialist society and nobody really needs a job.
I always liked the theory that he was the main character's dad, like his estranged father, following him through, like trying to help him out.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, you never heard that before?
No, I've never heard that. I like that a lot, though.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite fan theories.
I'm a big fan of Clyde being the player's dad. Big fan.
Yeah, like the player has no idea and Clyde doesn't tell him. He just like helps him out along his way.
I like that a lot. He's just like, yeah, you got this champ in the making.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
You're a champ in the making. Thanks, Dad. Gosh dang it. That's so sad and depressing to think about. And I think they're going to ruin that in Let's Go. They're going to ruin all of the headcanon in Let's Go somehow. Because he's going to be like, do you have a water or grass type Pokemon? Nope. Well, get out of here and go get one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, get the heck out of here.
Here, take this water bottle. Use that.
Pokemon. It's a little squirt bottle, you know, something you spray your cats with when they're misbehaving.
Yeah. What if they did that with, like, Pokemon? Like, in Persona and some of the Shin Megami Tensei games, like, they have the item that you just throw and they just deal a certain type of damage.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Next
what if
Pokemon
they did that
game
in Pokemon? Like, here, you do a base, like, 20 power water move using this item.
That would be an interesting, fun little mechanic. I would be down for that. I would be down for that being the next new mechanic.
Because, like, that's the thing, you could actually, like, depending on how the games work and stuff, like, you could literally just go throw a water bottle at a Pokemon.
Quote, unquote, the fifth move, you know? That'd be interesting.
It wouldn't be a strong, it'd be, like, hidden power, but, like, really weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it could be physical, you know? That'd be nice.
The water bottle, the plastic of the water bottle does water type damage.
Well, not that, but like, I don't know. I could just see it being like, I gave my it's Blastoise is holding rock. Blastoise throws rock. It's super effective to Pidgeotto.
Unburden kicks in. Oh, God.
He just like throws a rock. Oh, God. Unburden would be really bad with that. That would be horrible, actually. All right. But I don't know. For me, I was...
My top job would be a Pokemon Ranger, because that makes me think of... And this is mostly just my own headcanon. I don't actually know what they do. But that makes me think that they're like a park ranger. So they're out there and they're protecting the Pokemon and like making sure everybody's okay, that there's no rampaging Pokemon taking out these little 10-year-olds that are, you know, doing whatever.
That's actually pretty accurate to how they portray them in the Pokemon Ranger games, and also how they portray them in the anime and stuff like that. Yeah, the only difference is how good are you at spinning tops? Like that's a solid question.
When I was a little kid, I had like 3 Beyblades.
Oh,
so
you're qualified. That's what I learned.
I'm qualified.
that's the only difference between that and anything else. Is that you're just not qualified. Yeah, the Pokemon Ranger. I honestly, depending on how the government works, I want to either be a gym leader or an Elite Four member. So the government and Pokemon has always been something that befuddles me, because in my mind, like, Pokemon training has to be somehow government funded, right? Because you have all of this free health care for Pokemon, that is, probably not for the kids. But in the anime, it's definitely like free lodging and stuff for the kids. It was just nuts. It was like there's free lodging, free Pokemon healthcare, free all of this other stuff. And so I wonder how socialized this is, because maybe they're using it to train the youth to like essentially be part of an army or something like that, of Pokemon trainers to like use in combat against other countries or regions or something. I mean, obviously that's not like the Pokemon spirit is to go to war. I don't think that happens, but war happens in the Pokemon universe. Also, on top of that, you have the Elite Four, who apparently have so much power. If you go through and you listen to a lot of the dialogue in Pokemon Red and Blue, you can actually hear people being like, when the Silph Co. building's taken over, they say, hey, if only the Elite Four would come and save us, right? And
yeah.
These are individuals who I feel like it's kind of I don't know enough about Japan to say. I would say it's probably like a shogun type deal where...
Well, I actually know it totally is. They based it off of that. I think Strawn was talking about it.
That's probably
one time,
true.
And I don't remember if it was at PuckleCon or if it was like actually on the show at some point. I don't really remember. But he was talking about how, you had the Shogun, and then you had his four, I don't remember what they were called, but it was four people that were basically like the top earners and like mm-hmm. people that made the most money. So his four most powerful allies would like surround him or whatever, so that people would have to go through them to get through him.
That's exactly what I think. And I wonder if that's how the government's working in Pokemon. And I'm okay with being an Elite Four member then, because I'm like, I'm not top dog, and I'm okay with that. I don't need to be top dog. I'm okay being number two dog. You can just let, and I'm get paid to like stand around and challenge 10-year-olds to fights, you know, 30 times as they try to grind their Pokemon levels up and they keep losing to Lance. And I think that would be interesting. Even gym leader, I think, would be cool. Only because you could design your own gym. I think that's the only reason I could design my own gym, because it looks like they give these people free reign. They just get free reign in the games. Like they build paths and like little traps and things to go through. Koga's is literally just a ninja den, and he just like wants to catch people. And then in the anime, it's stupid because like Ash is going through the gym, and then Koga just shows up and he's like, "Yeah, let's fight now." And it's just like, okay, this is happening, I guess.
Another one that I would want too, and I know they're bad guys, but I really think being part of Team Rocket would be awesome, because think about it. How stupid is everybody except for Giovanni? Do you know how much money you would make just being mildly competent and working for Team Rocket? Giovanni would freaking love you.
Right? Nobody competent in the Pokemon world wants to actually do anything in Team Rocket. In Gen 2, I think they're better. Like, the executives that they have are actually better. They got names in HeartGold, SoulSilver, but I don't remember them off the top of my head. I know one of them's Ariana, because there's a whole thing where Ariana is Silver's mom, blah, blah, blah. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think they're semi-competent, the executives of Team Rocket, but you never see them in Gen 1. You only see Giovanni.
Yeah.
And
because they really weren't thinking that far ahead. They were just like, oh, it's a... Team Rocket this, or Team Rocket grunt, Team Rocket grunt.
No. Obviously, you just get mildly competent and you become an executive. So, like, your Basket's plan is still good.
Oh, no, that's still good. Like, they didn't really do anything in Gen 1 at all with that, anyways.
I think Basket's plan is still fantastic, because you can just go ahead and do whatever you want, and you become head dog in Team Rocket, and you probably make a pretty good living, right? You just do all right.
Totally.
I'm still very confused about the people that are in Giovanni's gym, by the way. I don't understand the people who are training there and being like, yeah, no, your boss is definitely a gang. Like, he runs a gang. And it's just like, yeah, but it's cool gym, right? I also don't understand why he wants to run a gym. I don't see how that...
They're his shell corporation, essentially.
I can believe that. I could see that as like a money laundering thing. The only thing is, I don't know how to sell Pokemon. I don't know where you go to sell Pokemon, because there's literally free Pokemon everywhere. Like, no joke, literally free Pokemon everywhere. The coolest thing that Team Rocket did is fund like the Mewtwo
thing.
The coolest thing that Team Rocket ever did was fund the creation of Mewtwo to some extent. I think that is the coolest thing they did. I also think Team Rocket story, I say this every time we talk about anything in the game in lore, I think their story is so much better in the manga. I think it makes way more sense why they do what they're doing in the manga.
I still haven't read, like, I started reading the Red and Blue mangas or whatever, but I never got, like, very far in them.
You should read them. And they're a good time.
Yeah.
I know. I've heard they're really good.
Like, the manga is everything that you want Pokemon to be. Like, if you read the Pokemon manga, you're just like, man, why didn't we get more story like this? And the answer is because it gets kind of, it's like, it's pretty Japanese in terms of like how much violence they're willing to give to their children versus the United States. And I mean, that's part of it, but it's literally the Pokemon story you wanted. Also, the people at the Pokemon Corporation at the time that the manga was written originally, the Red, Green, Blue manga, said that that was their most accurate depiction of the Pokemon universe they imagined while they were creating the game. So I definitely always suggest Pokemon manga to anybody and everyone, at least up until Emerald. And then after that, it kind of gets shaky.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't want to get too deep into it, but every once in a while in the Pokemon manga, what happens is what happened was they changed publishers to an extent, and between Emerald and Diamond and Pearl. So it's still the Pokemon Adventures manga. However, it's they no longer connect the stories as well. Like up until Emerald, everything from Red, Green, Blue matters. Like no joke. Cool. Yeah. It plays a role somewhat that Red, Green, Blue happened. It's just nuts how intertwined it is. It's really cool. And then Emerald's like this really big send off with like everything. And they do all come back to an extent in the HeartGold Soul Silver manga. But yeah, I digress. Other Pokemon jobs. Are there any other jobs that you would like, Shamu, in the Pokemon universe?
I guess the person who ever teaches you to catch your first Pokemon, because it's like the same thing as before. Just,
I don't
like,
think that's a job. Hey.
Well, it can be. What does it say it is?
It can't. I don't think so. I literally, in every game, the person that does it is just like a random Pokemon trainer. In the first generation, the guy who does it is just a drunk guy who is really sorry for trying to like, was really sorry for being mad at you and blocking your way because he was drunk. And so he's just like, hey, don't tell people. I'll show you how to catch Pokemon instead. And then in second gen, it's just a guy that's like sitting out in the grass. He's already a Pokemon trainer and he shows you how to do it only if you want. That's the thing we're missing in Pokemon games now, by the way. The gen 2, like, hey, do you want me to teach you catch Pokemon? And then you select no, and then you can just keep playing the game.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
We need a tutorial skip.
Yeah, because they have forced me to learn how to catch Pokemon in both Gen 6 and Gen 7 now.
Gen 7 is like really bad.
Also, one of them was Shauna that taught you how to catch a Pokemon. The other one was like, I forget who taught you how to catch Pokemon in Gen 7. I think it was Kukui or something. It wasn't anybody who had that job to do it. I mean, if you really wanted a Pokemon job like that, I'd say Pokemon Professor. That's what you want to do. Because you can just, obviously, you can just make a 10-year-old your research assistant, and all you have to do is, and you get
you make them do all the work for you, and then you just discredit them.
You know that's what? How grad school works.
So I have a theory, right? Because based off what Jim has said so far, he wants to do as little work possible for as much gain. So
why wouldn't you?
So what it seems like to me is Shamu wants to be. He wants to be one of those random trainers that hangs out on a route. That just like goes to the start of a route with like a level 35 Nidoking and just destroys every little kid that walks like past.
We can't be a generic Pokemon trainer. That's the thing. We can't be that.
Well, when you said generic,
that's
Pokemon
not generic.
Trainer,
that's just not,
originally.
No. I'm talking about the good ones. You're not a good one at that point. You're just a kid standing in the corner with a level 35 Nidoking.
someone walks up to you with a level 3 Sentret they're hoping to like grind some levels with, and you're just like, nope.
Nope.
Thump.
Nidoking. You just use Body Slam, and then it freaks out. Oh man.
Nidoking use pack.
I always thought it would be nice to be one of the people that runs a flower shop in the Pokemon. Like, have you noticed there's like a disproportionate amount of people in terms of occupations in Pokemon that run flower shops? Like a disproportionate number of flower shops in Pokemon compared to the number of people there. Right? Like here in the United States, there's probably like one flower shop per, I don't know, million people or 100,000 people, let's say. In Pokemon, it's definitely like one flower shop per like 200 people.
All right, let's switch it up a little bit and do ones we definitely wouldn't want. Like, I would not want to be a bicycle trader because everybody gets free bikes. like where's your bottom line? You can't even in the beginning gens or not even the beginning gens, but the
any gen
you cannot, like, the maximum amount of money is lower than the cost of a bike, so they're just like way overpriced, so the guy just has to freaking give them out.
Also, why are your bikes so expensive? Okay, why are your bikes so expensive?
Overestimated the market.
Well, so even if you consider the price of the Pokedollar to be similar to that of the yen, right? So roughly 1 yen is a cent, right? Roughly. This isn't true, but roughly. Let's say that. So the bicycle in Gen 1 is a million Pokédollars. Like 1 million. So if we convert that to yen, or from to yen to dollars, right? So 1 million yen to dollars is still like $10,000.
Yeah.
Right? So like, what bike is worth $10,000? Like, especially as a kid, a 10-year-old, you don't need a $10,000 foldable bike. Okay? I assume it's foldable because it just disappears when you get off of it. And like,
well, back in the day, that was what, 1990, like 1995, whatever? Like,
yeah, no, there was still, I was alive then, there was no bike worth $10,000.
Were there a foldable bike, though? Because they
there
could be
were.
Trying to.
Ever
like...
since like the 70s.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Holy crap. Holy crap, I just had an epiphany. That is Giovanni's shell company. That is his shell company.
It's gotta
be. He overprices the bikes 100% beyond anybody would actually pay for them, and then hands them out, and then says that he makes a killing on these bikes.
Oh, God, you're right. the only one that doesn't make the difference is, I know in Gen 2, the way they get by it is they say they're giving you the bike because you want, they're getting free advertising for it, which is fair. And then they call you up on the phone. They say, hey, you, my sales have gone up because you're riding the bike. Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's fair. Gen 3, I think, is a similar situation. They're like, hey, you can try out this bike and then hopefully it gets better. And then the same thing happens. Gen 4, I'm not exactly sure what happens or how you get the bike.
Well, I mean, they can't just say, oh, well, okay, kid, how about you just have this? If it's a shell company, they have to have, like, you know, a reason why they're giving it to someone.
That's true.
That's a pretty good reason. I mean, and it's pretty easy to make up. Because even if you're 10, like, yeah, you'd be stoked. But you might be thinking, like, my mom told me never to take candy from strangers. You know? Like, so there's got it. So, you know, if you're a reasonably smart kid, you got, you know, there has to be some reason why this guy's giving you this sweet bike.
So there was a ridiculously stupid movie back in the 1990s or early 2000s. I forget when it came out. It was called Blank Check. And so what the premise is, there's a money laundering issue. There's a bunch of people trying to money launder.
Uh-huh.
This company's trying to money launder through this like juice company or something. And this kid goes in there to like buy some juice or something. I forget what it was. And the guys that are trying to set up the business to launder their money through them, come out and like accidentally break his bike, and the guy's in a hurry to leave, and so he just hands the kid a blank check for to go buy a new bike, right? And the kid, because this is a kid's movie obviously, is just like, oh, what if I write down $1 million on this check, right? And because it's a drug company, they have $1 million in the bank, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets the money. So that's just an aside. Blank Check, go watch it if you want to watch something ridiculous. It's absolutely stupid. The kid like pretends that his dad is like the guy is his last name is Macintosh, and people believe he worked for Apple or something. It was completely absurd. So that is all. I think a job that I wouldn't want in the Pokemon universe, I think there's a lot of them. Like, anything that doesn't have to do with Pokemon. Like, you see the guys who are just, like, carrying boxes around and stuff. Or even just a sailor. I don't want to be any of those. I have no desire. Because those are real-world jobs. Why would I want a real-world job?
I think, honestly, one of the worst ones, too, would be, like, a nurse.
Yeah.
Like, Nurse Joy. You gotta deal with every single trainer's dying Pokemon.
With a smile like, on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get your revenge by saying, I hope to see you again.
And, dude, yes. Dude.
I think it's probably all sarcastic. Holy crap. It's probably sarcastic, like, hope to see you again. I don't want to deal with your goddamn Pokemon.
Ever since I was a little kid and I heard that, I was just like, what? Like, why do you want to see me again? Like,
yeah.
Why would you ever want this to happen again?
You don't want my Pokemon to die. And yeah, exactly. I think that's.
I don't want to deal with this.
But like, I'm going to wrap it up here. But if you want to email in next week, what Pokemon job would you like slash wouldn't like? Send that into PucklePodcast@gmail.com. I'll remind you guys at the end of the show. But we are going to take a short break here, guys, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 776, Turtonator, the Blast Turtle Pokemon.
It gushes fire and poisonous gases from its nostrils. Its dung is an explosive substance and can be put to various uses.
That also means that it has explosive diarrhea.
I imagine it's just like a bombardier beetle. If it has diarrhea, it's just a bombardier beetle.
Oh, God.
Turtonator is literally just... They were like, man, we're tired of just making water turtles. So here's a fire turtle. Fire dragon turtle on top of that.
That's like a landmine turtle.
He also has the exclusive move in Shell Trap, which is just like, hey, don't touch me or I'm going to blow up. So that's interesting. The problem with Turtonator is he's PU. And I honestly understand why.
Yeah, you got the high defense of all dragons, but that's about it.
He's got a high defense. I don't even know if that's true.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
High defense of all dragons. That's in its trivia.
Okay. Well, that's not anything.
Got 135. Wait, is that actually accurate?
Yeah, it is 135. Base 60 HP.
No, that's actually accurate for the highest defense.
Yeah, that's why I thought that couldn't be real, right? Because, like, what about Dialga?
I think Dialga got like 120 or 110.
Okay.
I'm not looking to it. I'm looking in right now.
Yeah, so it's got 78 attack, 135 special defense, 91 special attack, 85 special defense, and 36 speed. So like it's got that good defense stat, but the HP doesn't really back it up. Base 60 HP is bleh. But it does find its way into PU in, I mean, some interesting ways. I mean, it gets a Z move because it's bulky anyway, so you can kind of just run a Z move for funsies. And you can also, he gets Shell Smash. I forgot about this. He gets Shell Smash. So you can just
it
like,
is
smash.
Accurate.
Oh, I'm amazed, actually.
Yeah, the second highest is Salamence with Mega Salamence with 130.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets Shell Smash. You can use Fire Blast, Shell Smash, Draco, Dragon Pulse, because his move pool isn't that deep. He does get Charge Beam if you want some electric coverage.
Not
or
bad,
Shockwave. He also gets Venoshock.
The Venoshock is not bad for it, just
yes,
for
it
berry coverage.
He does also, well, if I would instead of Venoshock, he does get Flash Cannon.
Flash Cannon.
Run Flash Cannon. Earthquake. Also, in PU, there aren't a lot of fairy types floating around down there. So I wouldn't actually worry about fairy types too much in PU.
Well, it also deals with steel type or rock types, my bad.
Yeah, but Dragon's going to be neutral to that anyway. And you get stabbed from that. And you could do Draconium Z, Shell Smash, and you could just destroy anything. That's like a nuke button.
You're weak to rock. No, you're weak to rock.
Yeah, but you just Shell Smashed, and you have Draconium Z with Draco Meteor.
Whoa. Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the context of using it properly. That's what I'm talking about. Because, I mean, that's a nuke button, just hitting Draconium Z at plus two and just wiping something off the face of the earth. And he's bulky enough that he would survive. He would survive to get the Shell Smash off. Because he's super slow, but with a plus two speed, he'd be able to outrun a lot of stuff.
Is it his HP that like keeps
that,
him...
And his typing, I think. Because Fire Dragon isn't that great. It's just not that great. Because he gets Stealth Rock damage, which isn't great. On top of that, his move pool, like I just said, wasn't very deep. You get Flash Cannon, Venoshock, and Charge Beam outside of Fire and Dragon-type stabs.
You get a lot better physical moves than special.
Yeah, and his attack isn't that great. I mean, 36 speed also kills you. I mean, he's not Ferrothorn, which has arguably one of the best defensive typings in the game, which is Grass Steel. And... I mean, Ferrothorn does really well because it has really high stats to go with that typing, and a steel typing goes very far in terms of defensive capabilities. So he just doesn't get that because he's Fire Dragon type, which are two very offensive types trying to play a defensive role. And I think that's why he gets kicked down there. But you can smash for fun. You can Shell Smash for fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want to use him on teams, I think you get a lot of benefit from setting up screens. I think Meowstic is down there, so you can set up screens. And then you could also You could also use like Dugtrio or Skunk Tank because Memento, it can help weaken your opponents to let you get a free Shell Smash off. Once you do that, though, you can just start playing for funsies. The only thing you have to watch out for, like Shamu was mentioning, is rock types. Ground and rock types, I would say. Those are the two you really need to watch out for. Gastrodon and Torterra are kind of scary-ish for it.
I'm also not a fan of its ability. Like, I would prefer Sturdy on it.
What's his ability? It's the...
Shell Armor. It's all it gets.
Shell Smash,
That's garbage ability. I mean, he doesn't even get two abilities. That's really sad.
Yeah,
it just prevents crits, and that's not good. I mean, if he had another one, if he had Sturdy, I think that would be really good.
Yeah, if they just gave him at least two more abilities, like a normal, second normal, and then a hidden, it at least makes them things a bit more interesting.
I think they leave that kind of stuff hidden, though, because then in Gen 8, they can actually do something exciting with Turtonator then.
Yeah, they can. Right? Yeah, they get the option too.
Because hidden abilities being introduced and changing abilities and adding abilities has been a way that they revitalize a lot of old Pokemon. And you could see stuff being used a lot more than you did previously. Like, who before Gen 7 would have been like, man, Pelipper will be a scary Pokemon one day.
Or would have ever used Persian.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're adding these abilities, the hidden abilities. I know they changed an ability for Drizzle to get that on Pelipper. Same with Torkoal and Drought. They changed abilities for that. But I think that's also just, I don't know. I think that's how Pokemon kind of keeps things fresh. And I think it's a way other than base power creeping that they've been doing where they're just like, hey, you could use an extra 10 base points in this stat. I think this has been a good way that they've handled it. It's just by giving new abilities to breathe fresh air into a Pokemon. We'll see, though. They'll probably screw it up somehow.
Yeah.
They'll probably screw it up. I don't know how, but they will. But Turtonator, I mean, he's all right. He's not great. I don't know if he has a good TCG card. Probably not. But he has... Does he have a GX? Oh, yeah. Turtonator GX is actually used... Well, it was used in... the Volcanion decks, which are no longer a thing. But you could probably still use him in... what's it called? You could probably still use him in a Ho-Oh variant or something. I think that's doable.
It's probably like a one of maybe. Like a tech.
Yeah, I would say it's a tech. It's a one of... So Turtonator GX, for those of you who are unaware, came in, I believe, Guardians Rising, which was just a really good set in general. Guardians Rising was a fantastic set. And he has 190 HP... He's a fire type Pokemon. For a double colorless, he can do Shell Trap. So you can just throw a DCE in there. And during your opponent's next turn, if this Pokemon is knocked out, put 8 damage counters on the attacking Pokemon. It's like an amped up Burst Balloon, which is also out of the format now, which is weird to think about. And then you also have Bright Flame for 2 fire and a colorless, which has 160. And then you discard 2 energy from this Pokemon. And Burning Energy is also out of the format, so that doesn't even matter anymore. And then his GX attack is Nitro Tank GX, which allows you to attach...
This is the reason you use him.
Yeah, you attach 5 fire energy cards from your discard pile to your Pokemon in any way you like, which was really big for Volcanion. That's really big for Volcanion. Too bad Volcanion's out of the format. Probably not too bad, actually. I'm okay with it being gone.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah. It was way too popular for way too long, so I don't really care. But you can go get your Turtonators and play it in Expanded. Yeah! though there is a new Turtonator. It came out in the Dragonstorm set. It's a Dragon-type. The first Dragon-type Turtonator. 110 HP, 3 Fire Energy, Explosive Jet. It looks like, honestly, the picture on the card... I hate doing images because I try never to describe images on the podcast. But it really looks like he's about to take a poop. And
it's about to explode
which
everywhere.
Which we learned explodes. But for 5 fire energy, or not 5, for 3 fire energy, Explosive Jet, discard any amount of fire energy from this Pokemon. This attack does 50 damage times for each card you discarded in this way. It's a meh card. Though I could see that working with Turtonator GX. You could just swap the two of them back and forth and just keep discarding energy. Well, I guess it would only work once because of the GX attack, but it'd be funny.
Yeah, it's a GX.
We'll slam out a Kiawe turn 1. And then go ahead and use Turtonator GX, and then maybe you've killed two tag team Pokemon at this point. Which is another nonsense thing in itself, but we can get there another day. he's not that great, but Turtonator's design also hurts my neck just looking at it, because he's constantly just looking over his back. You would have thought evolution by this point would have fixed that. but it's fine. It's whatever. He is a Pokemon. He can be seen as the counterpart to Drampa. Both of them are dragon types and suck.
Yeah, Drampa got three abilities and Turtonator didn't.
Yeah, Drampa is actually not terrible, but it's also Drampa not very good.
Like,
what tier is Drampa coverage. In? Let's find out. It's in PU. It's in PU.
Yeah.
Drampa is in PU, but I think it's got much better coverage, personally.
It does. Oh, it 100% does. And it's got the ability to back it up.
It's got the same base stats, too.
Yeah.
Except...
But Drampa's got two actually...
They kept the speed stat, and then they just, like, cycled everything, like, one position.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Drampa's got two abilities for offense that...
Yeah, what
really
the heck?
Doesn't. Why it's does... got Zap Zipper and Berserk. Like,
what's up with that?
They're both really good abilities. Like,
yeah.
Depending on the situation, Zap Zipper, but, like, still, they're both better than Shell Armor.
Yeah.
What's up with like, that? Turtonator, you got... Wait, so what's with the lack of love?
That's so sad. I got with Shell Smash.
Man, I'm so sad. I'm so sad yeah. now for you, Turtonator. I don't understand. Why?
Yeah. Man. It's all right. Turtonator doesn't look that cool.
Yeah, he's kind of bleh. I was not impressed with him when I saw him for the first time. I'm still
his
not.
His tail is like the most ridiculous thing.
Also in PU, he's not like he's one of the worst in PU. He's C+ rank in terms of use in like viability.
Oh wow.
He's not that good. Let's look for Drampa. Drampa's probably like, man, I'm like A usage.
Up there.
Let me find out. We're gonna find Drampa.
I think it's that in PU.
Drampa is B. Really?
Bad.
Well, I don't think he's in the format anymore, is he? He's not on the viability rankings, actually, which is weird. Oh, no, there he is. He's B+. Never mind, I found him.
There you go.
He's B+. Yeah, so, yeah, Drampa's already better, significantly. And I understand why. I understand why. Drampa was also fun in Trick Room teams in VGC for 17? Yeah, that was it. All right, but that is going to be it for Turtonator. If you want to listen to more Pokemon nonsense, check out everything else on PucklePodcast.com, and we talk more Pokemon, and also come to the Discord, and we talk more Pokemon there, too. So we are going to kick it on over, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. As always, the mailbag is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
I'm not doing it.
No. Hooves.
I'm going to leave that gap in there, that nice long like 3-second gap while you guys decide whether or not you're going to say it. And
sorry, I was reading the mailbag one that I was going to read to. So then I was late.
For those of you new to the show, this is our mailbag segment, the segment of the show where we read listener emails. You can send them into pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We typically have a prompt. Last week, I believe it was, what are your thoughts on the VGC 2019 meta? Also, next week, if you want to email in, you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com answering, what job would you like in the Pokemon universe? Send that in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. But without further ado, let's jump right into these emails. The first one is going to be from Dell, which I believe Shamu has.
Yes, I do. Hello, Saturn, whoever he has. It's Dell, a rather new member of the Puckle community. This is my first email, and I just want to say I'm a big fan of you guys and the podcast. Keep up the good work.
I'm a big fan of him.
Oh, boy.
I know. I was just saying, because he said nice things about me. So...
For all listeners, just say nice things about Satch and you'll go places, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
All right. And for this week's mailbag question, my favorite singles play style is definitely offensive/bulky offense. I always try to build teams that will keep pressuring the opponent, such as Volt Turn and setup builds or Hathers plus hard hitting teams. I agree that balance is the more chess game approach when it comes to Pokemon. But I like offense because it rewards accurate prediction and hard doubles. And then, P.S., I noticed that no matter what game I'm playing, be it Pokemon, sports games, or even fighting games, I always tend to be an offensive player. It's kind of a pattern. Does that pattern follow you guys in other games as well, or is it just me?
I would say that's probably a thing, honestly, because
yeah. No, because I tend to be more offensive in games myself.
Yeah. I love Voltern. Voltern is my Voltern's favorite really way.
I like Voltern in my fighting games too. I like it when I in Smash Brothers. If I could Voltern in Smash Brothers, I'd be pretty happy.
Oh, that would be so much fun. You land a hit and then you just swap characters.
Yeah, that would be so silly.
Oh god. And just random. Oh, that'd be incredible. That would be so much fun.
That would be really cool, actually.
Game mode.
New game. It's mode. Like here we go.
Yeah. Every
that'd
like
be weird.
Minute that would... it swaps characters.
I think they're planning on doing something like that. I might be wrong though. I think they're setting it up so that every life is a different character and you can play matches like that. Which I think is a much more balanced way to do it than the way we're describing.
It is.
But our way is
we
more
just
fun.
The random mid session you change and you can like do weird combos.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. Oh, right.
Peace out, guys. Stay awesome. Catch you on the flip side, Dell.
All right. Thank you for that, Dell. So this next one is from Shira.
So, hello, Puckles. So we lost VGC 18 now and got us kind of strange new format, in my opinion. It kind of feels like half the toolbox we've used for the last 2 years has been looted, and someone, maybe some kind of jewel thief, has made off with all the sparkling megastones and the Z-crystals. The new meta for me is not that diverse from my point of view, even if they do allow two legendaries. Most teams will probably consist of Scarfed Kyogre with a fake-out user and then let the water spout spam begin. That being said, I'm finding it hard to throw some pieces together for a new team. I do like that we get some usage out of the legendaries, but I suspect to see much the same on a lot of teams, which does not make for a very interesting meta. I know they will change it up a bit along the season, so at least there's that. The third round will be quite crazy. For conversation's sake and on a dare, I have been thinking about Vaporeon and its water absorbability. Do you think it's even possible to make a viable VGC 19 team with it? Maybe with Raichu for a partner to support it with Lightning Rod? I know Gastrodon grossly outclasses it. Thoughts? And Thatch, don't just say no. Thank you for all the great podcasts. All the best wishes. Shira.
I think you could make Vaporeon almost work. So Kyogre is going to be the central part of the Sun series.
Yeah. Like, I can see it working. You're just going to be outclassed, as she already said.
I don't agree that Scarf Kyogre is going to be the centralization of the meta.
No, definitely not.
I don't think Scarf Kyogre is the set. I think Scarf Kyogre is a really easy way to cheese yourself to 1300 on the VGC 2019 ladder. I do not think that Scarf Kyogre is the way to succeed. I think it's going to be your equivalent of the big six or chalk in terms of this meta. It's going to be something that you need to know how to play around, but you can play around it. That's the thing. You can play around it in terms of like a Pokemon with say, you could just double protect turn one if you're worried about fake out, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And water absorbs exist.
Water absorb, storm drain. On top of that, a lot of Pokemon actually do take a water spout from just a regular Kyogre. I mean, if it was a primal Kyogre, that's a different question. But
yeah.
Normal Kyogre doesn't always OKO with water spout. And that's something that you need to consider. On top of that, you could just fake out the Kyogre, right?
Yeah.
You could easily fake out Kyogre. Here. And there's a good number of fake out users, including the Raichu. And so I don't think Choice Scarf Kyogre is going to be the way to win this meta. I think you're going to see a lot of it. I don't think it's going to be the way to win, though. And
it'll be something else to deal with. It's not going to be the main threat.
Yes. I just don't think it's going to be the thing that is going to be... I don't think it's going to be standing between you and winning a Premier Challenge or anything else. I think it's going to be a thing that you need to get to Top Cut. And... that's all right. I think that's okay. I think Raichu is probably the partner for it. I think Raichu's pretty viable in this meta, especially with Kyogre, because Kyogre likes to take down other Kyogre with Thunder in the rain. And I think if you have a viable Lightning Rod user in the back, like Raichu, that's a good way to do it. Also, you get the fake out pressure, like I said. So Raichu's a good choice.
And also counters other Kyogre with Thunder itself.
Yeah, and I think if you're too worried about this Choice Scarf Kyogre. There's definitely ways to get around it. And I would encourage you to go do it. There's actually this really good VGC YouTuber who popped up real quick when VGC 19 came out. His name is Moxie Boosted. I'm sure you've probably seen it because sure, I know you're crazy about VGC, but if other people haven't, you go check him out. He's really good about teaching you how to team build for this meta. So I would definitely suggest that if you're interested. So yeah, I don't want to get too deep into the VGC 2019 meta, but I can. I just don't think this is the way. I think you can do Vaporeon. I'm not going to tell you that you can't do Vaporeon and Gastrodon's better. If you want to try to build Vaporeon, which is at least a semi-solid poke, and it's good in UU, it's probably usable. I would just suggest probably Storm Drain, because I think that cuts out...
it doesn't get... Yeah.
I don't know if Water Absorb cuts it out for your partner, but I know Storm Drain does.
Water Absorb doesn't, no. Yeah. Storm Drain is just Water-type Lightning Rod. Water Absorb is just a singular thing. So, like, Surf will still hit your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Or Muddy Water will still hit your partner. But Storm Drain would say, no, all that goes to me.
Yep. So that, I mean, in that instance, you're correct then, Shira. I would much rather play Gastrodon. But you could try to run Vaporeon. And at least have fun with it. I mean, have fun. I mean, that's the big thing about Pokemon. Make sure you're having fun.
Plus, Vaporeon's super cool.
I mean, it's a Pokemon. I feel like the popularity of Vaporeon it kills me every time, man. It's just, I'm tired of Eevees, man. I'm also tired of Gen 1 right now. I'm just tired of Gen 1. Like, since 2013, we've just been like rehashing Gen 1, and I'm hoping that.
What year is this?
2013. Since 2013, we've been like on the hey, Gen 1's really cool hype train.
I thought it was like, they said this was 2013, and I was about to question, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, since X and Y came out, we've been steadily on this rehashed Gen 1 hype train. It's been, hey, here's a Kanto starter, and we made Mega Evolutions for them. Followed by, hey, all the Kanto Pokemon are getting their own the Alolan forms. Followed by, hey, here's some heavy references about Gen 1. Here's some more Gen 1 for you to think about. And I'm okay with that. Also, Pokemon Go also in that time as well was just like, hey, only Gen 1. And I'm just tired of it. Let me, as a Pokemon fan, enjoy it. What I would really like to see is something on the order. In 2019, I'd really like to see a game that's very much like Black and White, but without 150 new Pokemon that I don't recognize. I would like to see all of our old Pokemon there sprinkled in. But something with like the story quality of Black and White, and it just doesn't try to rehash the past. I just want that. Something that's its own thing. But of course, that probably won't sell, and it'll be like, when you beat the Gen 8 game, it'll be like, and you get to go back to Kanto! And it's just like, let's stop, please. I'm done. But anyway, let's get to this Doc Knox email. Good morning, Puckle. The last couple shows have talked a lot about competitive, and I'd like to know about a certain aspect. How do you feel about legendary Pokemon? Every team seems to have one. Every meta seems to revolve around which are available. Personally, I don't use them aside from general design dislike. I feel like they take away from the feeling of being a Pokemon trainer. I know it's just getting over the separation of game mechanics versus story, but I'll always choose art over math. Looking forward to the next Little Cup tourney. Fear Mice Field Team 6. And not really that evil, Dr. Noximus. Legendaries, okay.
They're more like a necessary evil.
A necessary evil? I don't think a lot of them are broken. And I mean, even if you look at... I wouldn't agree with you that every meta it revolves around a legendary. And so OU definitely does. Hands down, OU is Battle of Tapu Koko versus Lando T. And that'll agree with you. Also, Ubers is literally just legends, right? And
pretty much, yeah.
I would say yes in those two metas. Yes. Also, VGC 19 right now. Yes, absolutely. The entire idea is that you can bring two of them, right? And but if you get to like UU definitely is all about Scizor. Like it's the Scizor meta. Scizor is the Lando T of UU. So I think if you just go play UU, go try a meta like that, you could definitely play with six Pokemon and none of them be legendaries. I would suggest something like that. Same with RU. You could get away with that. Same with NU and PU. You could get away with that down there too. So if you're really interested in that, I would definitely check something like that out. Also, Little Cup, absolutely. It's a good example too. But I won't go
Little Cup is awesome.
Little Cup, best meta. It's the meta that should be more popular than it is. It's the meta that rules them all. Also, where I say you should always learn how to play Pokemon is Little Cup. I know it's stupid and you can't use Electivire. Yeah. But you should just go... Well, in Little Cup, there's like three viable items. And...
That's pretty much what it is. It's like,
there's three viable items, and the speed tiers are much broader in terms of like what Pokemon are and what speed. And
it's like Berry Juice and Scarfs.
Berry Juice, Scarf, Eviolite, Life Orb. Four items, Little Cup, done. I have listed every item that's ever used in Little Cup. Sash. Okay, so five items. You can count all of the items that are ever used in Little Cup, though, on one hand.
It's like I would think under 10 items total.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you got the five main ones, then you got a couple other random ones. Like, you might see a leftovers, depending on the Pokemon. It's just, generally, Eviolite's better, but well, let's not get into it. The rabbit hole. I don't want to go down
there. It's just simple Pokemon. That's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And all your stuff is dumped down to, like, a couple things, not, like...
It's so much fun, though. Too bad Apom's banned. It makes me sad. But that is... It is now, yes.
I love playing with Diaper Bird. I love him so much.
But that is going to be it for the mailbag, guys. Like I said at the beginning of the segment, if you want to send us an email in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, answer the question, what job would you like to have in the Pokemon universe? Once again, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Of course, if you want to keep on rolling that Puckle train, you can get that Green Tauros badge that I almost forgot to give. And I think the only one that doesn't have it is Del. Do we want to give it to Del?
Heck yeah.
All right.
With that,
Del, you get the Green Tauros badge. Woo! Okay, squeal. Let's do it. All right.
Woo!
In the next one, guys, in the interim, before the next episode of the Puckle Podcast, you can do so many things to keep up with Puckle and keep Pokemon in your life. First of all, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. All of those links are in the show notes and also on our website, PucklePodcast.com. Also, just search for us at Puckle Podcast on all of those formats. You'll find us. If you want more Puckle goodness in the form of a podcast episode, you should check out our other feed, Puckle Plus. I believe Game Corner is coming out this week, so you can get more Puckle trivia action going in. If you just check out Game Corner, where the Puckle Plus, the orange Pokeball button, go click that. The link to that is in the show notes. You can also go check out our Discord, which has the link in the show notes. You should definitely check out the Discord. And finally, if you want to do anything else, like watch me and Jushiro play Pokemon on different formats, and maybe Shamu now that we fixed his capture card, you can check out twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where you can also support us by, one, donating directly to the podcast while we're there. I have a donation button that's finally hooked up for that. You can get little notifications on the stream. You can also check us out. You can also donate bits that you can get for watching ads. You can also use a free Twitch Prime subscription to subscribe to us on Twitch. If you don't want to deal with Twitch to help support the show, you can check out TeePublic, where we have a lot of our fake products there, including Drifblim Daycare as a onesie for your child. Also, you can get a t-shirt of anything else, such as Green Tauros or even Corsolicola. You can check those out there. Or if you want to support the show more directly and maybe get access to that PTU podcast, you could go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast, and we'd really appreciate that. So until next time, guys, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Dr. Shamu.
I'm Basket.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side.
as always, I would like to thank our current patrons, because without them, we would not be able to do a lot of awesome stuff here at Puckle. So as always, let's just go ahead and jump in. Thanks to Viger, Jonathan, Zane, Sean, Dexio, Chris, Ryan, Michael, Rotted Mushroom, Jimmy, John, Miguel, Paul, Marcus, Laria, Andrea, Doc Knox, Mikey, Alec, the Golden Clef Key, TJ, Birdkeeper Cobra, Doc McStuffles, John, Greg, Trevor, Jesse, Ozzy, Trey, Josh, Nathan, Daniel, Nick, Polini, and Ironcaster, Dylan, Shira, Sparky, Orange, Avenger, The British Gent, Half Full Reviews, Michael, Echo, Anime Gravy, Inferno, Alex, Michael, Eric, Travis, Thomas, and Curtis. So thank you all to you for going ahead and donating to Puckle. We really appreciate it, and we hope to see you guys in the future. And if you're a $10 patron or higher, feel free. Soon we will be sending out those Bosifist cards, so if you haven't gotten one yet, you will soon. So I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.